Alright, there's gotta be something on.
They say the word shit like 100 times.
You make the bully drink piss.
Whoa!
What is this exactly about?
Sean's parents are basically on the verge of a divorce.
We'll come back to bite them in the ass later.
I always wonder, like, why was it always that kid's problem?
Did you see that?
But I'm sure I'm quite drunk enough to see Meet the Feebles.
Of course you didn't. Nobody saw it. You know why? Because no one saw this movie.
It's like Avenue Q, only worse.
Yeah, it was definitely a rental for me.
On 3D, plus the IMAX 3D, plus the other theater had it.
Which was not really that hard.
Wait, where did he come from?
Get it up.
One of those covers of the video store, you remember?
Oh, this is that movie? Yep, of course. Yep, what in the hell is this and why is it on my TV? Yeah, I'm gonna have to catch this from the beginning.
What am I watching?
Hi, folks, and welcome to another edition of What Am I Watching? You have found another great production of the Hollow Knight Network. And tonight, I am Dave the Clone, hosting your presence here. And joining me is Gomez, not Adams.
Hello!
And all the way from the Fangirl Zone, but not from the universe that Ming has conquered by any means, Sean Fangirl S.
Hello.
Thank you guys for being on the panel, and Gomez, this is one that you strongly recommended. In fact, I think this is one of the first ones you put on the list of the What Am I Watching Should Be Tackled type programs. So,
because this is definitely a 2 a.m. What the hell am I watching?
I wish I had watched it at 2 a.m. It would have been
okay,
so much fun.
Okay, so it wasn't like, this is my favorite thing ever, you guys have to watch it, right?
This is one of my favorite cult camp films.
Mm-hmm.
I have to admit that. And I love it because it's camp. I love it because it's kind of that niche sci-fi. It's not really for the kids, but it's a little bit too silly for the adults.
Yeah, it's sort of like, I don't know what demographic you were looking for, the like 2 a.m. college kids should be studying for finals but are drunk as shit. Or are coming down off of like a 4-day acid bender. And you're like, let's ease them out of this.
And I'm too damn lazy to actually change the channel.
Yeah. Because I think I finally watched it in its entirety. You know, you always catch it. And it's one of those movies that for some reason you have to watch part of it.
Uh-huh.
But I finally watched it in its entirety. And I think I sat here with my mouth open most of the time. Like,
you're like, this is the thing? This is the thing everybody's always talking about? This is that Flash Gordon? Directed by Mike Hodges. Produced by, it's a De Laurentiis production, actually. And to
it
me,
feels like it.
Yeah, definitely has that signature, we're trying to out Star Wars constantly feel, sort of like a, you know what this reminded me of? Like Dune, but rainbow colored, you know, happy Dune.
I have to mention this, because Star Wars happened because George Lucas couldn't get the rights to Flash Gordon.
Isn't that weird?
Dino De Laurentiis had the rights for forever.
That's pretty
And they
weird.
Were like, okay, and George Lucas was like, no, I really want to make a Flash Gordon movie. And Dino De Laurentiis said, no, this is my movie. I want to make this movie. So 3 years after Star Wars happens, they come out with this.
And I mean, so much Star Wars, like so much Star Wars. But then you see things in this that you're like, whoa, so much gonna be Empire Strikes Back. So much gonna be Jedi, you know, like, wow, shit. They definitely are all in the same pool, you know, swimming around.
I think it's important to talk a little bit about like the pedigree of Flash Gordon, because Flash Gordon started out as a 1930s movie serial.
Okay. Oh, black and white, right? The ones that
and with the comic books and like the big cliffhangers. And okay, so yeah, there was the damsel in distress and the space princess and everything else. So it's been updated for 1980, but a lot of it's pulling back from the 1930s and that kind of ideal, I guess.
I don't know.
What actually came first, though? Was it the comics or the serials?
I don't know. I want to say it was probably the comics came first. But the serials were definitely had an impact on Star Wars, George Lucas, mm-hmm. and then, of course, this movie itself.
I don't know, man. This movie had some elements of it that seemed like they were very forward-thinking, like some very powerful female characters that we'll get into. But for the most part, it was like, this is where camp was invented.
I can't go that far.
I almost imagined as I was watching this today going, is this where they got the idea for Mystery Science Theater 3000? Because I could sit here and talk shit about this all day long.
No, I think we have to go further back. Only because I was watching on El Rey Network the Kaiju Marathon.
El Rey Network.
Yes.
I was watching the Kaiju Marathon and all the Star Wars. I mean, sorry, we're just saying Star Wars. All the Godzilla ones. And that's where all the super camp stuff, and I'm like,
that's where it started. This was like that without a giant monster, though, because it was just
I was kind of surprised the amount of like really well-known actors, but then obviously I don't remember that much back in the 80s as to how well-known most of those actors were.
Max von Sydow was pretty big.
Yeah.
That's
Brian Blessed was known in England. I mean, he was known as a British actor.
Yeah.
Robbie Coltrane was in it, because I have Harry Potter in the background. He was actually in it for a minute.
Who was Clytus? Peter Wingard. What the hell else was he in? Because I thought he was one of the best characters in the whole thing. Like, there are some that really went for it. You know what I mean? Some of these guys were really, really just like throwing caution to the wind and fully committing to the role. And Clytus was definitely one of them. But I do not recognize Peter Wingard from anything else. But maybe if as I say the name over and over and over again, anyone listening to this is probably like, IMDb, what are you talking about?
Okay, a lot of Doctor Who. Topol had already done Fiddler on the Roof.
Yeah, he
did. The Doctor Zarkov. So that was like.
And he had a whole presence all his own. There were a couple people that were just doing their own thing in this entire movie. You know what I mean? And holy shit, Sam Jones is one of them. Oh my God.
Very much so.
This whole thing was just, I don't get it. Like, you know, I mean, maybe this is a little before my time for why things would get cult status, you know, the way they do. But I was just watching it going, whoa. This is the almighty bow down and suck it Flash Gordon. Wow. okay.
And I think what's great is that originally there were supposed to be three of these.
Wow. Well, setup at the very end there. And you could kind of see, but again, I think it was like totally trying to be like, we could do a Star Wars. We could do a Star Wars that doesn't require like as much thinking and doesn't have any backstory at all and has people fall in love and get engaged in the course of like 16 hours.
Yep, you know? Absolutely.
Well, I think they could have, had it not been quite at this cheese factor, I think they probably could have done three of them.
Well, let's...
Because they were all signed on, which is interesting because Gomez was mentioning something about Sam Jones.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because that just jumps out at you immediately. Let's get the elephants in the room here up on stage.
Sam Jones hated this movie.
Okay, so there is a truth out there that Sam Jones, if it looked a little odd every time he was delivering his dialogue in this movie, if it looked a little like almost like a kung fu film, it's because Sam Jones's dialogue was all what they call ADR'd or recorded afterwards as voiceover, and not by Sam Jones or by Sam Jones.
They actually don't know who did it. That's crazier.
It
could just be somebody they hired off the street saying, hey, come in here. We need you to read these lines for us.
I had read about that he was having a problem with, what was it, getting paid. And so that's why they actually had somebody else or had the lines dubbed. Because you're right, it never did say if it was actually him like re-editing or, you know, whatever.
I
thought that was kind of weird because something about
I cannot believe
he wouldn't come in to loop
to do.
I don't know what that means.
No, and he wasn't getting he wasn't getting along with the director at all for this either. Like he was just done with the movie at that point.
I don't know why he didn't just recast.
At that point, I think it was a little late.
Like it was all filmed.
It was all filmed, and at that point, they were like, "We need to redo some of the lines just because." And he's like, "Yeah, no, I don't think so."
And so because of that, they did all of his dialogue with somebody else's voice?
Yeah, like, pretty much.
That
like, fuck
is
you,
crazy.
No, we're not doing this.
Like, we got your face. It doesn't matter.
Exactly. It's like all we wanted you was to look pretty anyway.
So is there some rogue cut out there with the original Sam Jones voice to it that like
not that I've seen.
Oh my God.
I think that got burned.
That would be crazy.
It probably did.
That would be crazy if somebody could find that. I would definitely like to watch that. Because, I mean, I felt like the whole time I'm watching it going, they just don't even give a shit. Like, you know, this guy's like literally, this is Saturday Night Live level. Like, I'm reading the fucking cue cards from right off the side of the camera. You know what I mean?
Let's talk a bit about the special effects. Like, this opening scene, the airplane.
Oh, I'm taking flying lessons. Let me explain to you what's happening. It was almost like a video game. You know, you're just like, what? Oh, I'm from the New York Jets, and I'm taking flying lessons. You're like, yo, we're in that kind of a comic book already.
Active quarterback, too. If, you know, comparing it to all the quarterbacks now, they're much more slight, and I don't see them really getting into it like he does later. At least say he was like defensive end or something.
None of them would be a Flash Gordon.
No,
exactly. Here he is signing the autograph for the pilot.
Oh yeah,
later when he's tackling people.
No, but like it's like imagine that today. It'd be like, oh, hold on, we got to text my agent real quick and ask if I'm allowed to sign this issue of People magazine. It might only be Time, or it might only be Rolling Stone. I'm allowed to sign, but People, I'm not allowed to sign. Just like that Jerry Maguire moment there. I'm sorry, son. I can't sign this card.
And I love the, you know, the two-person plane, though. Really,
everything about it. There's a storm of hot hail. We didn't even start with the machine making all the friggin' different weapons. You hear a voiceover. We don't know who's talking to who, but then he's like, "It's this place called Earth." Yet then they have on their machine earthquakes are a thing like already set ready to go.
Yes,
so,
exactly.
Like earthquakes are a thing in the universe. They didn't know there was a planet Earth.
We got your earthquake, we got your hurricane, we got your hot hail.
Hot hail, yo. Hot hail. It's like, are you used to regular hail? Yeah, not such a big deal. Well, this is hot fucking hail. One guy touches it with his pen, he's like, oh, moon rock. I've seen this shit before. Like, everything about it, you're just like, oh, we're in for a fucking ride. Oh, my God.
And I love the fact that, you know, Zarkov's assistant gets woken up by a meteor falling in his bed.
Yeah, like, lighting his feet on fire.
Yeah.
Like, oh, shit, what's that? And then he just, like, walks away from the bed. There's no fire extinguisher. Like, these, like, fires that are all just for the scene to progress the movement here. Let's go.
Exactly.
Let's get to the next frame.
Come on, he's out in the middle of nowhere, and he has a freaking spaceship.
Yes, he does. Well, he's a scientist.
Yeah.
Don't all scientists have that?
I've built this rocket in my atrium.
At least he's a former NASA scientist.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, that everyone just laughed out of the fucking, yeah, dude, you know what? You're just retarded. Get out of here. We're tired of laughing at you. We're going to laugh you out.
And this was back when, you know, there was still the concept of, yeah, we might actually end up back up there soon.
Yeah. Yeah, this is all getting eerily familiar for many, many reasons.
I love the fact that we've got the broadcast that's going on, talking about him as it introduces him.
Yeah, and I'm just like, wow, guys, you're laying it on thick. And then when he gets on the plane, he's like, hey, you know who I am? Of course I know who you are. You're like, wow, dude, you're not
small
even sure.
World.
Yeah, Dale Arden, although... I gotta say, the women in this movie are gorgeous. Like, holy crap, they obviously... Like, it's almost painful because I'm like, oh, they totally don't look like this anymore. But, whatever.
It doesn't
gorgeous
matter.
During this moment in time. Holy crap, Princess Aura. Holy shit. Yeah,
yes,
we'll get
exactly.
there. We'll get there.
We'll get there.
I don't.
So anyway,
Sean's just like, why am I doing this podcast?
But we're in this long, long sequence. Okay, there's imagery there for people who like the guys.
Hollow9podcast@gmail.com. Let us know.
We'll get there.
Okay.
So we have the
hashtag Flash Gordon.
Was anybody else with the sequence with Zarkov and his assistant Munson just like, well, this end already?
Yeah, there's a lot of sequences like that, though, throughout the whole movie. But it was just very like, wow, he is so taking himself so seriously. Like, it's not a storm, it's an attack! Like, whoa!
We must go attack back!
Yeah.
Me and my assistant with my revolver!
We got this. Earth, don't worry. Earth, don't worry.
So, and then we've got the pilots getting sucked out of the airplane.
By the giant Ming in the sky.
Yes.
Like a Teletubby sun, baby. Comes out of nowhere like, yoink. And then, what the hell? Like, it always sounded like a freaking Japanese enemy. What's going on up here? There's no pilots in the plane. And then she's like,
something sucked them out the window. But why? The holes are too small.
Hey, you want to get up here and help me out? There's no pilots in this plane.
Yeah. So I felt like this is like the Indiana Jones moment.
Yeah, well, that's I felt like, again, everything took from this movie, or this movie took from everything. You know what I mean? It's like, if there's ever a nexus point in the zeitgeist, Flash Gordon is it.
Absolutely.
So much that you feel like, like, if you fall asleep, you kind of half wake up, you're like, oh, shit, I didn't know this was on. Oh, wait a minute, this is Flash Gordon. This isn't
something I wanted to watch.
This isn't He-Man. Like, what's going on here, even though he looks like He-Man? This isn't Empire Strikes Back later, even though it's in a swamp. This isn't Robin Hood. Oh, wait, hold on. This isn't James Bond, even though it's Timothy Dalton.
There's considering the number of Bond actors that appeared in this movie.
Yeah, who were... Like, four of them?
At least.
Is Zoltar...
You got Ben Sidno, you got Dalton.
No, Timothy Dalton, right. Oh, you also have...
Sidno was played a villain.
Who?
Max von Sydow played a villain.
Oh, and wait, in which one? Max von Sydow did? This is probably old Bond that I still have not seen. I've seen enough of the old Bond, but not all. know what I mean?
Never say never again.
Oh, hey. That was the sort of rogue one? That was sort of anti...
There's a couple.
You know.
And then it's a Topol.
Topol was sound
Robbie
music.
Coltrane.
There you go.
So those are the four.
Boom.
It's just one of those things like, why would they do... they wanted to get paid. That's why they did this movie.
It is one of those like where they're the one, but and those are the ones that are sort of like giving their all. It's the Sam Jones just kind of walking his way through the whole movie that you're like, what the fucking fuck? What, this is what passed back then? This was like,
why
okay.
did you get top billing?
Like, this was allowed? Like, why? Why didn't they just get somebody who kind of wanted to do this? It almost felt like it was one of those things he was tricked into signing a contract to do. You know what I mean?
Much like he was tricked into the rocket ship.
Yeah, exactly. And then like once he was
there,
it was like too late. Yeah, right. It's just right in this door that looks like I'm gonna lock it behind you.
It's no trouble at all.
Just put your foot on the pedal or we'll all die.
And then, like, they don't do it the whole time.
Exactly.
Like as they say, like, oh, yeah, there's pedals. You're supposed to step on the pedal. And if you design this shit, why would you put that so far away that you couldn't sit there and do both of those things? Like, push the pedal.
He was playing on his assistant going with him.
Still, that's just...
He wasn't playing for his assistant to end up buried under an airplane.
Poor planning.
Because he was going to take him by force. Yeah,
you know,
that didn't make sense either.
So our golden boy hero here gets overpowered by the scientist. Close to it.
Well, he also had to protect the hot chick who instantly fell in love with him. Like, it was like, whoa. This was like, I didn't even have to try. This chick is just done. It's over. She's part of me now.
I'm a quarterback. She's a travel agent. Like,
when they get,
all I had to do was say, hey, you wanna?
When you get to the planet later, she's like, hey, remember me? It's like, oh yeah, hi. We just met 5 minutes ago.
I know. I was like,
you're already locking this shit down. That's exactly. I felt like that several times throughout the movie. Like, wait, did they cut something? Did am I watching an incomplete version?
Quite possibly.
It was the one available on iTunes. That's iTunes, brought to you by Apple, who might one day sponsor our shows. Who knows? They definitely make our shows possible, as well as the fans and listeners like you. So thank you very much.
I mean, the other thing I could get over was just how poor the space effects were in this. It's like they're flying through space, and oh, look at all the planets that are just right there.
And all the sky was just like psychedelic clouds, you know what I mean? Like, there was not really a lot of space. It was a lot of this sort of trippy-dippy, like, faux space. 70s space.
I want to know what the hell was going on with Dale as they're all passed out and all of a sudden she's sweating. She's like,
yeah, in her
sleep. She's touching her face. I'm like, what the?
I always open my blouse in my sleep just in case any football players are around.
Like, oh my God. Actually, I loved how they were in anti-gravity and yet her head falls over to the completely other side.
Oh, there's like no, it's like they didn't even try. This is like, to me, that's the other thing. All right, so to its credit, I will say with movies like this, it was never like you had to buy into it. You were just on board from the get-go. Like when he opens the ship and just jumps out when they landed on some other planet, not even checking if there's fucking air out there. Just like, oh, boop, we got to go out. There's guys. You know, it's like you're just like, all right, whatever. It's like they're on another planet. It's like a cartoon, basically. You're just like, whatever. It all works.
Marvin to come running past you.
Oh, my God. Oh,
and Sean, going back to the movie's credit, Flash actually does push on the pedal.
Yes, yeah. True. Flash Gordon is the whole reason they survive this whole thing.
Even though they all pass out.
Yeah. And then they get, there's like the floating thing that greets them at Ming's Palace that's just like from fucking Big Trouble Little China. So I think John Carpenter definitely loved this movie.
Or at least was willing to steal from it.
Yeah. So much for all of our conspiracy theory enthusiasts out there like me. So much Illuminati shit in this movie. my God. All over the damn place. And then, like, there's just giant all-seeing eyes everywhere. The whole design of Ming's Palace, like, the throne room is just, it's just like, whoa. Whoa, fucking whoa. So, in the grand scheme of things, this could be a fucking documentary we're watching and not really much of a fictional story, if you know what I mean. But let the guys at Bohemian Grove chime in on that.
Jump away.
But can I say the spies for, what's his name, Cletus?
Clytus.
When they're in... Clitus. When the princess is, you know...
Clitoris. The one completely shrouded in mystery and armor because they can never be found. God.
Well, when, like, the princess is, you know, reviving Flash. And the spies, quote-unquote, they're just, like, walking behind her looking and then crawling back under. I'm like, what? Those are the worst spies ever.
You mean the Jawas?
Were they spies or were they just embalmers?
Yeah, like the little Jawas that you just shoo away.
Because they weren't in there. And then they come in, they see her, and then they leave. And then they come back, and they're standing there.
Yeah, it's like I
thought they were just slaves.
And I thought it was like part of her. I thought
those were his spies.
It was part of her sloppiness that she just doesn't give a shit. You know what I mean? That, like, she doesn't
if I get caught, I'll just sleep with the guy.
She doesn't even make sure that the room is, like, evacuated before she does this shit. She's just like, come on, we go this way, and don't worry, they're just conditioning him for our atmosphere. Don't worry that they're pointing a laser at him. You know, like, holy shit.
Okay, I do have to say, I love a little bit the throne rooms, the original throne room scene, where you walk in and you see all the different races.
Yeah, paying
kind
tribute.
Kind of gathered there waiting.
That happens to be the scene playing on my iPad right now.
I was actually trying to find images of that just to see if you can see the individual, like, costumes and stuff, and I could not find anything.
I like that one of them is like, we have an ice jewel. Like, really? Like, that's not going to melt here? Like,
of course not.
Weird physics going on up on this planet that also looks like it's the set that they eventually did use for Dune later, because this came out 4 years before Dune did. Although Dune was, like, being made for 10 years, so who knows. But it felt very Dune-ish to me. Like, this was the kids' version of Dune, and then they made the adults' version of Dune right after it. Called that one Dune, called this one something else.
And they both did about as well.
Yeah, oh, really?
Well, the original Dune did not do... This movie flopped.
Yeah, you could kind of... All these movies that then were shown all the time on things like Channel 11, you know, either during October when they used to do Shocktober or whatever gimmicky thing they were doing for the Halloween season. Yeah, I feel like this movie was shown on Sundays a lot, too, on, like, UPN back when it was just Channel 9 or whatever. That's just in the New York tri-state area. I'm sure everybody's got their own versions of the networks, wherever the networks reached out. But this one just looked like, what the hell was going... Like, you know who put the most effort of all the people into this movie? Was costume design.
Oh, like, absolutely.
These costumes were crazy. just like out of control crazy. I mean, the Professor Doom Darth Vader ripoff, you know, and then something that we eventually see echoes of in the 300 with the guy who has to fall on his own sword.
Well, I actually, that would be George Harris, who ends up playing one of the wizards in Harry Potter.
He did?
George Harris. He also played
Daniel Craig's
assistant, the heavy, in Layer Cake.
Layer Cake, yeah, that's right.
Okay, so this is definitely like, wait, he was in that?
Holy
yeah, he was in that,
crap.
In that too.
And dressed like a friggin' Coming to America African warrior.
And later on, we'll see Richard Harris, a.k.a. No, not Richard Harris.
I know who you're talking about.
Richard O'Brien?
What?
Riff Raff from
From
Rocky Horror.
Rocky Horror, yeah. And as soon as you hear his voice, you're like, oh, shit, Riff Raff.
Right. He's in this, too.
Like, damn, everybody's in this friggin' thing. And this movie has so many parts, you know what I mean? Like, so many archetypal different parts for a movie of this type. Like, you have this giant throne room scene where you're introduced to all the different races. Like, for as crazy as this movie is, it does pack a lot of stuff in. You have all these different, like, races or slash armies that are introduced. Then you have, like, where we go and focus on one of them, and they have their whole manhood ritual with the whole putting your arm in the tree stump with the poisonous creature thing. You have the other chick and Ming. Their sort of, like, evil bloodline gets a little bit of its own sort of treatment with their little, torture chamber, and they're very much like the inner workings of the Death Star-looking control rooms. You know, there's all these things that they were packed into this just under two-hour-long movie.
Yep.
And yet the dialogue is so ridiculous that, like, there is very little character development. You know what I mean?
Yes,
like, and that's one of those things that just, I think at the time that this movie came out, either we weren't into that so much, because I feel like this, it's still a revered movie. You know what I mean? But, like, you don't really see any reason for Flash. He's just like a big.
It's a Michael Bay. It's a Michael Bay movie before Michael Bay.
Yes, exactly. So Dino De Laurentiis was like the Michael Bay of the late 70s, early 80s to the mid 80s.
Yeah, I mean, this was like
'80s.
We don't really care about how much character. We don't need character development. We want to see people get stabbed with swords. Come on.
I guess, but I mean, the fact that this chick falls in love with Flash so fast, the fact that, like, then the daughter of Ming is in love with Flash too. Like, there's all this.
Okay, the daughter of Ming was in love with everybody.
Well, yeah, oh yeah.
I don't know if love is quite the right word. I think everybody might have been in love with her.
She's like one of those crazy, like a crazy alien race that has, like, their power is seduction. Like, they just, like, almost from Star Trek the Motion Picture, the bald chick who, like, they're a sexually evolved race, and we are a sexually immature race.
Let's just put it this way. The casting call for this movie was definitely like, so how much skin are you willing to show?
Yeah, we're not going to go quite porn level, but you're going to be flashing and dancing around a lot.
Yeah,
and then you're going to be tortured face down at some point. Oh my god, like, only in movies like this too, like, every torture device at some point has this, like, heavily implied sexual theme that, like, as a little kid we probably didn't understand why, but it suddenly felt very awkward to be watching these things with our parents. Like, especially if it's like you're just watching TV on a Saturday and it's like, oh, like, oh god, what do they do? Why do they have her tied up like that? I don't know.
His hands.
When the princess walks out and has the little guy on the leash.
Oh, a whole bunch of them?
Right there.
And a big, big rainbow.
The guy from Willy Wonka. He's the Oompa Loompas.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, really?
I had to look it up. I'm like, why does he look familiar?
He's the Oompa Loompas. Not the old Oompa Loompas.
That's fantastic.
And I just love that with the guns, like, when they first get there and Flash is like, hi, Flash from Earth. And, you know, the gun, when it comes out, it's like a hand. And then the tie downs were golden hands. I'm like, what is their obsession with hands?
It's very.
They've got their own fetish thing going on.
And
yeah, I guess.
Very Illuminati.
And then we also have shout out to Barbarella, I feel.
Yeah.
Interrogation of Dale.
Yeah, yeah. Definitely, there's a lot of. There's a lot of, I felt like Barbarella was like almost a sister movie to this, and maybe something we should cover probably next-ish.
It does. I also, just for the added squick factor of, you know, he's done this to his daughter, too.
Oh, God. Yeah.
Oh, with the ring?
Yeah.
Yes. When he's like, she's responded even better than your daughter.
Yes, exactly.
What?
So not only you do this to your daughter in front of other people.
This is probably why she's a crazy nymphomaniac, guys. And again, something very Illuminati-ish, like having sex slaves around. And immediately when they eventually take, like, everybody prisoner, you know, what they start referring to Dale as the, you know, Emperor's concubine. You're like, oh, Jesus. You know, like, and if she hasn't done it yet, it's definitely, like, happening tonight.
Like that escalated quickly.
Like, you guys know what concubine means, right? No? All you people in the 80s watching this, no? You don't know what that means?
Ming does not waste time.
Yeah, Ming.
Obviously.
Well, this will make your time with Ming less or more agreeable.
Yes. Yeah. You won't forget, but you won't mind remembering.
Yeah. Will it make you forget? No, but it'll make you not mind remembering. You're like, oh, God. Am I going to have scars that I don't understand at some point? Is that, that's what, whenever I think of that shit, like, oh, don't worry, it'll just alter your memory. Like, no, when I look down and see, like, that I'm all ripped up and it says, fuck you, bitch, and scars on my chest, I know where that came from. I know why that happened. Like, come on. There was always that level of, like, sort of sexual threat in these movies, and watching it now with full ability to recognize it is just like, holy shit. When they say the Illuminati's programming us, they are programming us, guys.
But they're definitely making Max out to be the bad guy. They're making Ming out to be the bad guy, rather.
Oh, yeah.
So there's no question about it. Not wanted.
Did anybody have a question about it?
Yeah, no. That was... But there was also these
pretty early on when they're like, Lizard Man, you will not escape. Zzz, and now you're dead.
Like, go back. All right, never mind. We tried. But they do have these other layers within Ming's organization that seem like they're at some point going to make their own attempt at taking over. You know, like whether the other. So that was, I guess, the whole idea is that the good guys are all so disparate and separated that it's easy for Ming to control them. And. Like, Flash's whole big thing because he's part of the Jets, because he's a football player.
He can build teamwork.
Professional athlete, guys. Teamwork's the answer to everything. That's why you know me as Flash Gordon.
Hit people with balls.
I mean, they had to have that whole sequence in the throwing room. Like, this advanced race, he's basically just shoulder ramming everybody. Like, tackling and shoulder ramming and, like, throwing people around.
And then he gets knocked out when Zarkov hits him in the head.
Oops, accidentally I hit the good guy. Fuck me.
Knocked him out.
Dumbass. There's always a dumbass. There's always
I wanna know, like, how the one guy's like, No, you have to go down in this kind of position. Now turn around and get him. I'm like,
yeah, quick sideline here. Sideline, guys. Sideline, motherfuckers. We got to have a huddle over here.
Like, yeah, and notice it was colitis. He's like, I'm not actually going to go out there.
Yeah, you know, the guy.
Just kind of standing around.
The guy in head to toe armor is like, oh, I'm just going to chill over here on the side. And
What does he say? Are you sure they're taking the right pills?
Yeah.
Are they on the
correct medications? And then when we come to him in the dungeon, he's got this giant fetish mask on. There's a lot of weird sex shit going on in this movie. A lot of weird, perverted crap. A lot of, like...
Obviously, Ming gets bored easy.
Yeah. Well, once you start conquering everything, it's just like, all right, well, how many of these people can I rape before this gets boring? I guess. I don't know. I mean... Just as soon, instant concubines when people come into the court. Yep, she's a concubine right now. Boom.
She's kind of hot. Yep.
Welcome to the court, lady. You're one of mine.
Okay, I actually have a quick question. When was it Vulcan?
Yes.
Peter the Hawkman. When he was going to suddenly take down Baron, you know, they're like, yes. If you kill him, you forfeit your daughter. Then all of a sudden she's there and then she's gone. So was she a very Game of Thrones-ish? Was she a ward of Ming?
Oh, shit. Yeah, we don't know where she is.
Because she's there, she's threatened, and then she's
gone. I wonder if that's a drop threat.
She's standing with all the Hawkmen, though.
Yeah, and they kind of, like...
But then she's gone, and the next time when they pull out... Yeah.
But they also kind of surround her instantly. It's almost like she's hidden amongst the flock always. You know what I mean? Like,
can I just say, really, Hawkman, can you at least have actual feathers on your crappy wings.
You guys have big metal wings, you know.
How are you supposed to fly with those?
Yeah.
Those are the wings that never move. They're like, eh.
Only when they're in the Ray Harryhausen, like, cloud, you know, effect of, like, hovering or ready to attack. But then when it's like first wave dive, it's all just like frozen and moving. Like, Star Wars has better moving stuff that flies, but we're close. And the other thing that is crazy throughout this whole movie is just that, like, Flash Gordon doesn't give a shit that Earth is, like, gonna die. He's just like, oh, hey, are you okay? I was worried about you. Like, what?
He starts to care near the end,
like,
but that's about it.
Fuck, dude.
Yeah, when they had like 3 minutes.
Yeah.
Yes, exactly. It's like, oh, I guess I'm on a deadline here. Okay.
Totally just remembered I'm trying to save the planet. Fuck.
Oh, right. 2 minute warning. Got it.
This whole time I've been thinking I gotta save Dale, and it's really Earth that I'm supposed to be focusing on. It's all these Illuminati rituals they keep doing that keep confusing me.
I have to say, I love the little Wizard of Oz shout out in the dungeon room. With the hourglass, except that it's running up instead of down.
You have until time runs up.
But then she can't flip it over as much as she tries.
And that was a lot of sand. That went fast. That was quick.
Time, obviously, is different.
It was
there.
Running at the time of plot.
Yes, exactly.
Well, that's what I think was funny, if time's running so weird, because wasn't it when they first were going to leave Earth, it was, we have 11 hours, and then when they're there at some point, we have 13 hours.
No, there was like what? 16 at one point. And you're like,
it's like, what the hell did I miss?
Nobody is following the continuity person. Like, nobody is keeping track with the edit.
Well, we had to make the transition from Earth time to Ming time.
Oh, that's right. It's Eastern Ming time.
Actually, Mongo time. I'm sorry. Mongo time. It's
Ming
rules Mongo.
Mongo like candy. I love how they had to put him in like little leather briefs to execute him. Like, you must wear the execution underwear.
And going back to the whole costume bit,
yeah.
How many costume changes were there in this movie?
For Flash?
Just for the lead.
Holy shit.
There was a lot.
I mean, Dale gets a bunch. Flash gets a few.
Okay,
Flash
gets like five. I just want to say, so with Dale's change, really, you're going to get your girlfriend, you know, the slave, drunk as hell, and then you're going to switch clothes, skin-tight clothes with her, and be able to run off. And you're changing the headdress. Yeah, that's real easy. Have you ever tried to get a drunk chick into the car to get her home?
Yeah,
I'm just saying.
Later we see her doing somersaults and Matrix-like cartwheels.
But
she was not wearing her heels.
So you know, she at least was smart enough. She's like, I got to take these off because I can't do this. And I can't kill the doctor who are my mom's guys.
Dale rescued herself.
Yes, exactly.
Yes.
Okay, which is actually something that Princess Leia never managed to do.
After she was also put through two, like, basically gratuitous cat fights. It's just like, wait a minute. So she's just going to get drunk with a bunch of other chicks dressed in tight shit, and then later she's going to get into a fight with the princess. So it's like the nympho and the drug chick are just like, and this is strictly for any of the guys who are starting to be like, all right, this is pretty dumb. Like the Hawk guys and whatever. Why the fuck is this 2 hours long? What's going on here?
Cat fight.
Yeah. Oh, shit. And, like, one's just got, like, the strap. Like, one shoulder covered and just, oh, it was just beautiful. they don't do shit. Well, you know what? I was remarking to myself, like, if this was shot now, it would be a much more choreographed kung fu fight. There would be a lot of camera work. There'd be flipping. There'd be throwing each other across the room. It was a very traditionally shot. Like, camera stays in one spot, and they go across the set a couple times.
A giant bed.
Exactly.
Yeah, which was just a giant bed, yes. It was a step away from being a porno. I think it was the rehearsal for the porn parody.
That's just terrible.
I do believe there is one out there.
There is.
Named... Flat Gordon.
No, Flash Gordon. I was like, Flat Gordon? What would it be? Why would you want a flat chick? No.
No. Flash Gordon.
And I just think the weird gas mask, like I said, the Doctor Who Are You My Mummy guys. I'm like, what the? I think Stephen Moffat really liked this show, and that's where he got that episode from.
Yeah. Also a lot of Skeletor.
I mean, the weird red gas mask. And like, then when it made a noise, like when one of them got killed, it's like,
Oh, no, those are the lizard people inside those gas masks going,
oh, is that what it was? Okay.
Yeah, it was fucking crazy.
The lizard people masks, those were
horribly awesome. I mean, it was like, those are like World War II gas masks with, meanwhile, like, crossed with, like, satanic ceremonial robes. Like, this movie is awash in, like, disturbing shit. Like, just like, what the fuck am I seeing? Is this what goes on?
I had a feel with what Beetlejuice, like part of Beetlejuice, you know how like when he opens his face and like the tongue comes out and the eyeballs. I'm like, oh, that's where they got Beetlejuice from, the lizard men.
Quite possibly.
Yeah. This thing was like a hotbed of influence. And also, like,
I would think so.
Like, almost, I'm like, is this like, did this happen at one of your Eyes Wide Shut parties? Like, instead of on a different planet, this was just like in a mansion. They were trying to find Flash Gordon, and there was like the daughter of the homeowner was like just trying to fuck everybody. Oh, here
Quite
he is.
Possibly.
Flash Gordon is in his first of his uniform changes now.
Okay. I don't know where you are at this point.
They're about to escape, and then he's like, wait a minute, that's Dr. Zokar. Don't worry, he's just being conditioned for our, you know, environment.
We're totally not melting his brain.
Or pointing a giant laser at his balls like in Goldfinger, like totally. No, Dr. Zokar, it's Zokov, right? Or Zarkov?
Zarkov.
And what was, and it's Vulcan or Voltan?
Vulcan.
Vulcan, oh Jesus, I'm on the IMDb, I should just look there.
That's actually his third costume.
Prince Voltan.
Oh, Vulcan?
It is Voltan.
Okay.
Sorry. Yeah.
Because he had his Flash Gordon shirt and pants, and then he had his little leather diaper.
Yes.
And then he had the pilot clothes.
Yeah,
but
nobody will notice this blonde guy walking around.
But what kind of douchebag wears a shirt with his own name on it?
Yeah.
When he doesn't have to.
Hi, I'm Flash. I'm a friend. Like, okay, dude.
I think you got hit in the head.
Do you wear that in case you get lost?
Where the hell are you from?
I was reading through the trivia on IMDb, and I don't know if the trivia came from like the comic books in that point, but it said that he wore the shirt because it was sent to him by an anonymous female admirer, and he wore it in hopes to meet her.
Yeah, that's
because she wouldn't recognize him.
They dropped that thread from the movie.
And look how quickly he forgot about that person.
Yeah, because as soon as he's on a plane, hey, by the way, I take flying lessons, and sometimes air comes above the clouds.
Okay, look how quickly he was forgetting about Dale when he was on another air space.
Okay,
thing.
Whoa, this chick is turning me on. Wait a minute, no, that wasn't about you. Whoa, shit, you know what, I'm going to stop talking. Like, dude, why don't you just nail her and shut up?
Much deeper can I dig myself?
Oh, my God. Hi, I'm a big just pile of meat walking through this movie. How you guys doing? Thank God Max von Sydow gives a crap about this. And so does the guy playing Clytus, because otherwise this thing would just be a flop and a half, like inside of a flop and a half. Timothy Dalton's trying his hardest. Everybody else cares.
Everybody's trying, except maybe Brian Blessed, who just wants to shout at people.
Yeah. And
see, and I felt like that's where Gimli came from, too.
Oh, yeah, yeah, definitely. Yeah. Like, they're, like, the debaucherous, like, winged, like, fallen angels, basically, in a mock heaven, I guess, going on up there.
And then, yeah.
You know, they have a dueling pit with spikes ready to go that are just, like, built. Yo, did they drown Dr. Zoltan's wife,
they threw her in the pool at a party.
They murdered this chick.
And she died.
They fucking murdered his wife. He watched that shit happen.
And then they're watching the rest of his memories, and they see Hitler, like, oh, yeah,
he was promising.
She,
yeah, oh, like, my God.
Okay, yes, we get it. You're evil. Thank you.
Yeah, and you have no respect for any weakness at all. Like, when they see, when they were executing Flash, and Dale is crying, and like, water is leaking from her eyes. That, again, also was like such a dude, like, he gives water to the dead. Like, oh my God, guys. It was half dry run for Dune, half trying to be Star Wars meets James Bond meets I don't know what.
Yes, pretty much.
But people love it, and if you love it, hollow9podcast@gmail.com. That's the word hollow, the number 9, I-N-E, followed by podcast@gmail.com. Why? Because it's cool, and so are you, so thanks for listening.
And you can tell us why.
You love
hashtag
this movie.
Why?
Or you can tell us why you hate it.
Yeah. You can also tell us on Twitter. We are at Hollow9cast on Twitter. Yeah, we're all over that.
Just like
the evil Lynn ripoff chick over here taking people's memories.
And then putting new ones in, putting new information in.
Go straight to level 6.
But you said, but wait.
Ida gave you an order. There was an awful lot of that, too. Like, hey, this is how fascism works, remember? I gave you an order.
Okay.
An order to
my family.
Order to hurt someone else right now. Level 6.
Now, to be fair, I mean, poor Flash gets romped on by Princess Aurora.
Oh, my God. To be fair. Damn. I'm watching it happen right now. There's nothing fair about this. I was just like, you son of a bitch. Just like, oh, this was such a crazy day. I got on a plane, and now I might fuck this chick, and I'm still in love with this other chick. They tried to kill me. This chick saved me. Now I'm flying somewhere in a different costume. This is nuts.
What's going to happen next?
Let me tell the first chick I'm about to get turned on by the second chick. And then remember, oh, no, wait, that wasn't for you. I'm using my telepathy caller thing. My telepathy.
And also showing the great downside for any sort of telepathic communication.
Yeah. And they were also
anything
like,
what runs through your head gets transmitted to the other person.
Wait, you didn't. You guys don't have telepathy on Earth?
And he's doing it like it's, you know, a CB transmission.
Yeah, this is.
Can you hear me? Over.
This is Flash. Over. Just think back at me. Over. Okay, I'm done thinking at you. Over.
Shut up,
idiot.
Over.
Wow, I hope she doesn't realize that I've been wanting to fuck her the whole time since I met. Oh, wait a minute. This is still on. Over. Oh, wait, shit.
I wonder if this is what she looks like naked. Over. Oh,
wait a minute. This is what the chick I'm with looks like naked, because she's naked. Wait, that wasn't for you.
And of course, before that, we get the whole harem scene with poor Dale getting drugged up.
Just drink this. What is it? There's no name for it. Just drink it. Like, drink that.
We
no
call
names.
It tequila.
Many people died bringing it back. Many Bothans died to bring you this information.
many people died bringing us booze.
Many people died to bring this back from the pleasure galaxies. Like, a lot of fighting going on in the pleasure galaxies there.
That makes no sense.
And then it's but
to Dale's credit, she can hold her liquor.
She takes one, like, oh, shit, this is nice. Like, damn, all right, hold on.
Pour me another.
Suddenly, this job ain't too bad. Like, wait, I get to fuck and get paid? This is cool.
And then they bring out another bottle.
Every time?
Yeah, right, oh, yeah. Just keep it coming. Keep bringing out a pitcher of this every 20 minutes till somebody passes out.
Works for me.
Damn.
And that's, of course, before she knows that Flash is still alive.
Yeah, see, that's never a good time to let her know you're alive, but also in a ship with somebody else who's turning you on. It's not advisable. In this space opera that's really about Flash trying to fuck every chick he meets, and not really about them trying to save Earth. You don't even see Earth very much in this movie.
You do not, just at the beginning.
Like, oh, remember that place that they came from that's being threatened?
That you want blown, that they're trying to blow up?
Hot hail, yo, hot hail.
Is that worse than the meteor storm or better? I don't know.
And the hot hail was like,
sucks.
It was pieces of the moon crumbling and flying at the Earth. So that's been going on for 16 hours. Meanwhile, all these chicks are trying to just nail Flash Gordon.
Pretty much.
Unbelievable.
Actually, to Princess Aurora's credit, she's trying to nail everybody, so.
Yeah, but Flash is like, that's like some human meat. Even something new and going to be a delicacy and very rare in the next, like, 2 hours.
Well, so she kind of takes after her father in that regard.
And it was also, again, very much like Big Trouble in Little China, because a lot of it is building up to this giant wedding scene, which is like big climactic. But it was like half Big Trouble in Little China, half Dune, because the whole building is shooting lasers. Like, it just gets to be, we take a detour from the escape from prison planet to the Robin Hood planet of swamps.
of Arborea.
Swamps and, you know, manhood tests with poisonous scorpions.
That
and
made it sound like weird sex was happening.
It was, oh my god. I thought for sure we were going
to
be seeing.
What the hell am I listening to?
Okay, like, oh, so we're going to drum and chant. And then we're gonna you have to stick your hand into this hole and hope that nothing bad happens.
That's the whole reason that thing stings anybody. It's like, oh man, I was so close, then they stopped banging on the walls. Ah. Yeah, it definitely sounded like we were gonna be watching somebody getting railed. Like, oh wow, this initiation's pretty nuts. You gotta fuck somebody in front of the whole tribe. Oh no, that's just them chanting? No. Okay, that's weird.
No, you're gonna get stung by something that induces madness and you're gonna beg for death.
Please. And the madness.
So, just wondering.
And that was
if
like
all of their young who become men have to do this. What if they go through, say, 10-year span where they all get stung and die?
Like that was their Vietnam. It was the revenge of the scorpion. Took an entire generation.
Well, yeah. Yeah, I mean, are you going to have the women going, yeah, you know what, we got to keep having kids because we need these guys to grow up and save us.
We didn't even see any women from that planet. We don't know what the women from that world look like.
This is a true statement. And we're probably better
like,
off.
There might
be better off not.
This could be like Maze Runner. It's just all dudes. Until the one comes up and she'll be the last one ever.
It's like, what, do you have a queen or something? Like she's laying eggs and
shit? Oh, God.
So we have this initiation ritual. Why?
Yeah.
No, you're never actually going to have sex.
Well, again, I mean, one of the things that this movie's good at is following the rules of formula and doing things like when you see the Chekhov's gun at the beginning of the movie, it goes off by the end. So we see the initiation ritual and you think, oh, that's fucked up. I bet Flash is going to have to deal with that at some point. And yes.
And lo and behold, he does.
In the Empire Strikes Back portion of Flash Gordon, which is the movie within the movie, like, if you want to break it into three parts, this definitely, I feel like the whole side adventure to, what was the place called? Arborea?
Arborea.
The whole side adventure to Arborea feels like a separate movie within a movie that was like just long enough to be a third of this movie, but not long enough to be a movie all its own, but definitely had like a different look and feel to it, you know? First, there's the thrown into the swamp cage that I believe Waterworld steals 20 years later, or 15 years later.
We have the falling into quicksand from Princess Bride.
Princess Bride, yep. And then, Jesus, there's the giant, like, earth bug that, like, swallows him up that's kind of
that just was no good.
Little hobbit.
It's like he got swallowed by a giant vagina.
Yeah.
It was not good at all.
It was a little Lord of the Rings-ish, you know, like the tree that starts to eat Sam and, or is it Merry and Pippin and Frodo and Sam save him with the Tom Bombadil section that never quite made it to the movies.
Yes. Okay, then we right now we've got Dale doing her chick foo.
Yes. Are you caught up? Are we all synced watching it at the same time?
I think so.
Yep, she's now going to do the shoot. Well, so three of them come around a corner, then she shoots at one. Like, on purpose misses, and then he almost hits her in the face.
I don't think so.
There it was, the Neo flip. Damn.
Yes. I mean, I just think this it's pretty badass that she saved herself. I think that, and for 1980, I mean, come on.
Well, that's what I'm saying. Very forward thinking. And then there's the one guy that she clearly, like, ran around the corner and he saw her. And then she's like, oh, I'm just going to hide here and beat his ass down once he crosses.
But I'm not going to forget to grab my shoes.
Yeah, because that's the most important
shit.
Very
important.
Oh my god. And then there are the eyeball people that we see later used in, I guess it was more of like the headset I'm thinking of from Empire Strikes Back from the guy in Cloud City.
That's the same guy.
Oh no shit, really?
Yes, yes.
No wonder I felt like there was some familiarity there.
So we went from, you know, eyes to ears.
Yeah.
Good for him. That always nice to see an actor like get a niche part.
Yeah.
Not typecast at all.
Next, he's going to have like a microphone coming out of his mouth. And
So when did he appear in Hellraiser? Anyway, I'm sorry.
Yeah, I know, right? Oh my god, it was the second one, Hellbound. I think that he starts showing up. And then, oh my god, so, like, where are we? We kind of like jumped ahead and we're jumping back, but I think the gist of when the third part of the movie comes in, I guess, is when they go up to City of the Winged Hawk
the
People.
The Cloud City.
The Cloud City.
So you have this, you have the whole subplot where, you know, the Prince of Aboria can't actually kill Flash because that'll get him in the doghouse with the princess.
Oh my god, she's like, you'll never fuck me again, even though I just want to keep him alive to fuck him. It's insane. Well,
so I need to connive about how to arrange to get Flash killed.
Insane, so, the lengths people are going to have sex in this movie. Like, yes, seriously.
Exactly. Like, the only person who's not trying to have sex in this movie is Prince Voltan.
Or Flash Gordon, for that matter. It's just happening for him. He's just being, like, led around like a dog with two brain cells. Like, I just follow the lights. What's going on, guys? What's everybody doing? What are we doing here?
I got hit in the head once or twice.
Just gotta promise me if you kill me, you and all the other guys will unite and fight against Ming. That's all I'm trying to get you all to do. You all hate me for no reason. This is ridiculous, yo.
I never did anything to you guys.
Yeah, you guys suck. This is bullshit. Like, total ridiculousness. Oh, God.
Why can't we all just get along? I do have to disagree with you, though. Voltan was trying to have sex.
Not true. Voltan?
With his purple concubine up in his Cloud City.
Yeah, he's like, oh, god damn it, what are you doing here? Why?
At so the only one, there was one. It was, what's his name? Shit.
Cletus. So that wasn't his name.
No, that was not his name.
Cletus?
Well, no, Cletus. Cletus
is after the princess.
Yeah, he definitely wants the slutty princess. He's like, I want that slutty slut for myself.
The professor, whose name is completely escaping
me. Oh, Zarkov.
Zarkov, thank you. I'm like trying to look, I'm like...
Zarkov was pretty much, was fairly asexual. But then, he was mourning his dead wife.
True, that's right.
That was messed up backstory. That you didn't even really get to know about it. It was like really quick. It's like
in that video.
Oh, they threw her in.
Like, yo, they fucking murdered his wife by accident.
It's like they threw her in as a prank and her dress drowned her.
Like, no shit. That's what happened. Oh my god. Like, that's ridiculous. And you're gonna save the planet. Meanwhile, these idiots are letting like the elder's son. I'm ready for my manhood test, Dad. Yeah.
Okay, now stick your hand in this hole and hope you don't get stung.
Goodbye, son. And meanwhile, any other time people do it after this, like they stick their hand in for a second and pull it out, and they're like, "Yay!" This guy went shoulder deep and just sat there, like, "Oh, I guess I'm blessed because it's not coming after me. I'm leaving." Like, "Ah, shit!" Like, dude, fuck you. You
with his green blood.
Or was that the poison from the?
Or a little bit of both.
Oh, it was Predator Planet here. Predator Planet.
Because the other guy bled blue.
Yeah, that's true. Right. It's very rainbow Skittles bag going on up in this place. That's the riffraff is part of that planet too. So,
yes,
yeah.
He is. Uh-huh.
So eventually they go to the Hawk people, and it's like everywhere you go, there's got to be some kind of trial or test. No one just wants to, like, believe. Everybody hates Ming, but nobody wants to unite against him until someone's like, well, I'll fight this asshole to the death, and if we win, then maybe that'll convince you
maybe
to listen
to us. Maybe you guys will get along, right?
Yeah. Like, let's see if that magic formula works again in this movie, and congratulations, it did. I did like that they had, like, a remote control, and, like, eventually he's like, yeah, this is boring. We're going to totally fuck you guys up more. Spikes are coming out of the ground.
And then we're going to tilt it.
We're fighting with whips, and somehow they have, like, a stargate that goes into the portal into nothingness or whatever, because if they fall off the platform, they're going into nothingness forever. Like, it's like, oh, you're in the void, bro.
I mean, seriously, who picks whips as a duel to the death kind of weapon?
Fuck you guys. Make do with that.
We'll see in 6 hours.
They, like, spin a wheel, and it's like, popsicle sticks, cotton ball, cotton balls,
giant rubber dildo,
whips, and you're like hoping for whip. You're like, please whip. At least I can choke somebody with that. Oh my god.
And okay, in the same kind of vein, who the hell puts their little escape pod sleds? Like, you have to go into the void and angle just right down the little chute.
Oh, or the chute that Luke goes down in Empire Strikes Back, right? After he gets his hand cut off.
After he falls about a mile.
Just right.
Oh, shit.
Oh, okay, then we slide in here and this is your escape pod.
Hey.
What the hell?
You gotta know what you're doing.
So you have to just trust that you're gonna fall into nothingness?
You probably, if you're a Hawkman, have wings and can
control. Then why do they need escape sleds?
Oh, because they had visitors. Jesus, Sean, I'm trying to help you guys.
Sean, they might have visitors.
I was ready to burn this shit to the ground the second it started.
Here, I'm going to throw you down here. Hopefully, you'll find the sled.
Actually, they get the sled from Zarkov. Because they captured Zarkov. The Hawkman captured
Galen. That's right. Oh, that's right. So that was in like a storage. That was like in a closet that he stumbled into. Just like, oh, shit. Look at this. It just happens to be in a perfect escape pod position.
Exactly.
And like whoever put it there
was
like, yo.
But there was a slide that you have to go down to get in there.
And there was also a doorway to launch the thing out of. But you know, so you know the Hawkman that put it there, like, yo, I don't know who designed this extra room, but this is fucking perfect for like a sled just like this.
Exactly.
And you just, if you needed to just quickly get out of that throne room up there, man, and you didn't have wings, fuck, this would be perfect. I don't
know. This is ideal.
Remind me to show Vulton about this, because I think I could just got myself like a week off of work right there. That was like a vacation-worthy idea. And I don't even know what the point of the lizard people were. They like didn't say shit the entire movie. They're just
one was there just to get killed to show how evil Ming is.
This is also, if we're following along with the conspiracy theory trail like you should be, this is also just like an admission that there are reptilians hidden in the populace all around us all the time. There are like these reptile people that just look like humans, but they're reptile people.
So we got Flash Gordon being lowered into the swamp. We got the princess being whipped.
Yeah, by the other chick. So it's like,
And Clytus is in there too. Yeah.
Who's screaming, I don't want to hurt you. Hawk!
Yeah, as he's like touching himself with his golden hand. only see one of his hands throughout this whole sequence, and those are very flowy robes.
and her dad watching the whole time. He's like,
We're going to get some...
Eating grapes or some shit in the back.
And we're going to get some boar worms out here, and that's just what, you know, we call our dicks, because they bore into you.
Not the boar worms, not those!
Father, please! Damn you, Father! Yeah, thanks, that hurt a lot. I'm feeling...
And you know, Ming's just got people sitting under that desk, and that's really their hands coming up the ground.
Yeah, yeah. That's all that they're there for. Oh, my God.
I'm telling you, he's like... Back there, it was grapes or popcorn. He's just like, I'm enjoying the show. It's pretty cool.
Damn,
some BDSM in the morning? Oh, I'm fine with that. My daughter? Oh, bonus.
How could you, Father? Damn you, Father. He's like, yep, I'm all damned. Look at me. It hurts. This is why I lose in 10 minutes. This is why the movie goes sour for me after this.
All I'd done was, you know, not tortured my own daughter.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, maybe that's all
it's
taken.
Is that one line I didn't have to cross? Well, fine.
Oh, shit. And so, I don't know, let's fast forward here, because now we're still back in Cloud City.
Yeah.
There has...
Arborea.
And can I say how, like, when... I want to call him Cletus. I don't know why.
Clytus
ends up dying there. Why do his eyes like bulge out?
Yeah,
freaky out.
There's a lot of
the
Countess or whatever. She melts into black ooze as well. It's because they're not really people, man.
Because
they're fueled by evil. They're fallen angel demons.
And they're not good people.
So when you when you puncture them, they just like deflate, and all the evil oozes out of them. Yeah, he like shows up. He's like, "You are going to be tried for treason." Like he's just walking all around. Like I showed up first. The backup's coming behind me, but you're going to go to jail, and you're going to go to jail. And they're just like, "Never mind." Throw your ass on spikes, Mr. Talks-A-Lot, just because you're dressed like fucking Destro.
So I had to ask, how did they get Queen to do this soundtrack? I mean, other than the fact that they wrote the
mechanics. The one song? I mean, like,
they did the whole soundtrack.
Oh, really?
Well, this is the first... I had to look up. This was the first soundtrack they did, and then the next one was...
Highlander.
And they pulled the line from Voltan... Who wants to live forever for the Highlanders?
Gotcha. Because I just felt like they just kept playing that flash, like every 15 minutes.
They didn't even did like the incidental music in the background.
Mm-hmm. I don't know. They were big at the time. Although some trivia said they wanted Pink Floyd originally.
Hmm.
That would have been.
There were high hopes.
I want to see that movie.
It would have been a whole different soundtrack.
Yeah, so they wound up doing Wizard of Oz without telling anybody. It was like, yeah, fuck you. It was, I think, also the time. Like, you had, like, Vangelis did the whole, what did they do, Chariots of Fire? And then it was it Vangelis that also did Blade Runner? Who did Blade Runner? Or was that Tangerine Dream? Hold on a second. Google Machine, who did the music for Blade Runner?
But, I mean, they were popular at the time.
Wasn't Blade Runner also 1980?
Yeah, I believe that was 80. Because
yes,
we were
Vangelis,
talking about
1982.
No, Blade Runner was 82. Sorry.
And it was Vangelis did the whole soundtrack for that. And then Toto did Dune.
You had all the popular 80s bands, basically.
But I'm just saying, it was like at the time you had bands doing, like, we're going to do an entire soundtrack for a film. You know what I mean? Like, it was kind of like a hip thing if your band got to do that, you know?
It wasn't just, you know, we're going to get this popular group or singer to do the opening for a Bond movie.
Or like the one song on the soundtrack that becomes the single for the film. Like, yeah, you're doing the fucking whole... This is like the only one who does that now really is like Trent Reznor, you know? Like, oh, this is like he did the whole Social Network and I'm sure he's doing another one.
Or Nick Cave.
Nick Cave as well, yeah. There, but like, also, I guess Danny Elfman sort of made transition.
He does soundtracks. That's his shtick.
And they're like full orchestrated soundtracks.
Right, exactly.
Yeah.
But yeah, there's not really any bands that do it now.
Yeah, not like not to this level either. Where these like
where
these
everything,
films were
yeah,
like
background
you know,
music, everything.
These films were also building like the foundation of what filming, you know, making became afterwards. Like how many films have we already said? Oh yeah, you could totally see tones of this in this movie and that movie, and like oh shit, those are he's basically using a treadmill for that right now. They did that better in the next movie. Oh my God, yeah, the sky is terrible. All the flying effects are crazy. And it's also very tropey, like, oh, the people who all wind up coming together all hated Flash at first, and he had to fight them all into submission to seeing his goodness. And now that they all are, you know, together, it's like a lifelong bond.
Now that I've beaten the crap out of you, we can be friends.
Yeah. Just promise me if you wind up stabbing me in the eye with this spike right now, you'll eventually team up with that guy who's making us fight to the death and kill Ming, who is the real bad guy here, right? Like, oh shit, do I have to fight any more of these mini bads before I can fight the big bad?
But also, if I fight you, you become good.
Yeah, it's sort of that's how Flash works. Flash, will save every one of us with 13 seconds to go, which I just don't seem being possible, but whatever.
It's like, not that the Earth is completely wrecked at that point or anything.
Yeah, like, it's been, like, constant earthquakes this whole time. Like, they just left the machine on and then walked away to do all this other bullshit, like, fighting Flash Gordon.
Well, you came back and New York's underwater. Sorry about that.
It's kind of like moving into our next film called AI. No, I don't know. Oh, man. So eventually, well, we do have the whole scene where if you can't beat him, join him. It's like, hey, Flash, listen, you're kicking way more ass than any of us ever thought you would. Why don't we stop fighting? Why don't I offer you a kingdom? I would have been like, all right, cool. Earth.
Yes. Done.
I will take Earth. I will take the kingdom of the place I'm trying to save. And my first decree is you get the fuck away from it. But no, Flash is too good to even consider it.
Yeah, actually, first degree would be give me back Dale. Second degree, get away from her.
Yeah, right. Can I get Dale back, please? Oh, no. She's one of the girls with green eyes I'm going to marry later. Very.
Damn it!
Oh, were you going to say that? Oh, shit.
It's like, no, but you can have my daughter. How's that? I mean, is that a fair trade? Come on.
I love how it's, do you take this woman of the hour? Yes, of the hour.
Of the hour, yes.
Wait, what?
And then she's like, I do not. Like, what are you talking about?
To do as you will or will not at any point in time. Okay. Until you go
forward. Eject her into space.
Yeah.
Wait, what?
Do you vow to do whatever you feel like doing? Like, this is awfully weird. Are there kids at this wedding? What the hell's happening here? And then meanwhile, pretty much, I guess, going full circle to the Chekhov's gun of the plane crashing into the doctor's laboratory in the beginning of the movie, ultimately, we have Flash crashing into the wedding in the spaceship.
Rocket Ajax.
Rocket Ajax. And that winds up, oh my god, the antenna on the front of that stabs Ming right through the chest.
Why do every... Oh, is it... Oh god, I can't even use words. Why is it every old, like, spaceship movie has the antenna, like, on the front? Like, they all had to have a spear on the front of their ship.
It's a very symbol. Retro... It's a very retro 1930s idea of what a spaceship looks like.
The radio antenna would be on the front, you know.
It's sort of like that. Like, this is what aerodynamic looks like.
Yeah.
See, I was just... I had this thought that maybe it was... Instead of, you know, like, the ships, old ships would have, like, a bust of a woman. It's like they all had to have a spear of some sort.
Forward mast.
It was not phallic at all.
First of all, it's just a giant phallic symbol, for one. And, I think it needed to be the weapon that Flash used. It needed to come full circle. Like, we had their version of a Star Wars aerial battle with all the Hawkmen versus the... First Rocket Ajax, and then what to me looked exactly like the palace in Dune firing all kinds of lasers in different directions at the end of that movie.
Fact that it was pay no attention to the guns firing. That's just in celebration of the wedding.
Yeah. Oh, my God. Like, wedding guests, there is no reason to panic.
And can I just say, when Ming's walking up and he listens, he's like, oh, yeah, that's plausible. All right.
And then he
keeps walking. It's like...
I don't remember.
I'm good with that.
He's like, I don't remember that memo going around. I didn't authorize that. Oh, well, fine.
Good initiative.
There you go. The ships that were going past the window, I don't remember what the first one said, but the second one said, like, under
pain of death. What did it say? What did the first one say? Oh, we should look
it up. I think it was, like, make merry.
Pain of death.
You will be executed. Yeah, exactly. Like,
make merry for the wedding of Emperor Ming, something like that.
Oh, okay. That's why I'm like, wait, what did
under
I miss?
Pain of death.
I was like, oh my gosh.
That's the part that I guess just never makes sense. For as blindly as we're supposed to just be like, oh, Flash Gordon's good. And he's just like, no, Ming, I'll stop you no matter what. No matter what they say to him. It's like, hey, do you want some water? No, Ming, I'll stop you no matter what. Okay, but do you want some water first? No, Ming, I'll stop you. Okay, gotcha. He doesn't know what else to say.
You hate me. I understand.
Yeah, we're there. I mean, Queen's playing. The good guys are winning. It's time for this to clean up house here. All right. What's it called? I don't even know where I was going with that. So let's just go to the end of the movie where Ming winds up turning his ring of... We've only seen it be like a hypnotism ring up until that point, but it also, I guess, is a death ray ring or whatever, because...
Instead it's whatever it wants, because apparently the princess, hers opens, you know, doors.
Yes.
Oh, true. So he turns it on himself as, I guess, what was it? What was he going to slice his head off with a giant golden sword there or something? It was like, stop attacking Earth and I'll let you live. And he's just like, nope, I'm going to kill myself. Fuck you. And then all of a sudden it's like, okay, yeah, the attack on Earth just stopped. Yes! Like, dude.
We win.
Is this a video game? Yeah. What just happened here?
I love the fact that, like, Sam Jones is the one that came up with that ending.
To jump up at the camera like, yes!
Yes. Because they couldn't figure out how to actually frame the end scene.
It's like, oh, I should jump at that giant thing that was...
And yell, yeah! That was their whole idea for how this movie should end.
Well, I love that. It's the little robot thing that's like, Flash Gordon, you've won.
Congratulations. The early attack on Earth has stopped. Like, oh, cool.
Which kind of goes, as far as I look at it, like, the opening scene starts almost like a video game for me.
Oh,
where
you
have this giant targeting reticule.
Yeah.
On Earth. Like, what are my options? Oh, I know. Let's see what Hot Hail does.
Yeah. It's a mass of, like, what I just said, it's some submass in the something sector. They call it Earth. You know, you could totally see it being like when you just put the game in, before you push start, before you even start the game, this is setting you up as to what you're going to be fighting against.
Exactly.
And they've done
the old 8-bit games.
Yeah, like Nintendo, NES. Fuck that super
Absolutely.
Shit.
Absolutely.
And, Flash Gordon sort of saves the day. by just crashing that thing in and making Ming kill himself.
Princess Zara is in yet another costume.
Yes, that's barely there.
Yeah. Well, it was all Slave Leia. That was that. Like George Lucas, like, oh, that's how they like the ladies, huh? And almost no clothes. I guess we'll have to find a way to do that in our movie because we're gonna make some money. Not like these. Not like these guys. That's my George Lucas impersonation.
Go quit your day job.
I think that's what he sounds like.
I thought that was kind of the, you know, George R. R. Martin impersonation.
No, because you see, that's the kingdom of the North. Whatever.
That was Gilbert. Keep complaining that the books aren't coming out and I'm killing another character.
I'm going to bring Ned Stark back for 2 pages just to murder him again. If people don't stop with this bullshit, it's enough already.
Okay, I love how the Hawk at the end are spelling out, like, thanks, Flash.
Oh, yeah.
That's their way of thinking.
That's what, I mean, the other thing that just hits you over the head with this movie is that it's made for morons. You're like, whoa, God, really? Like, not even thank you for your efforts, Flash Gordon of Earth. It's thanks, Flash. Like, Twitter. Like, we only got 5 characters each word here, man.
Oh, man.
The worst has got to be, and it's going way back to the beginning, the really bad cheerleading. Go, Flash, go. I'm like, I'm going to gouge my eyes out. Why?
Oh, when she's doing that on the side. Yes. Oh, my God. Yeah, it's crazy. You're just like, what is so many happening?
Bad, like,
could Dale already be a bigger chick? Well, yeah, maybe, but not. It would take work.
Oh, my God.
It would take a lot of work.
I just saw her open the door with the ring after she blew the chains away with the rifle. Yeah, there's chicks doing all kinds of crazy rescuing in this movie. Like, if it wasn't
and that was after she stabbed the guy.
Yeah. Oh, my God. Yeah, she's like a Mortal Kombat character. She's got weapons all over her. Her boobs are weapons.
Flash would agree with you.
Yeah. Oh, she's going away just as we're getting ready to almost wrap up here. Mostly because I'm going dry in the throat from all this talk of Flash. And then it's ironic that, do you think that they eventually made the Flash have a helmet that looks like Voltan in the comic book to kind of, like, tie Flash Gordon and the Flash together? Because I always thought that that was an ironic, like, oh, look, that guy's got what they eventually give, like, a legendary age Flash, the helmet with the 2 lightning bolts on the side.
I have no idea.
I'm just creating rumors and trivia where there are none. I'm just making shit up. Literally, as I pause, because I'm like, well, I'm going to go get something to drink because I am thirsty as hell. She comes back.
Oh, sorry.
Sorry about that.
Damn you, Sean. All right, so...
Okay, so anyway, so it was originally a comic strip.
Oh, okay.
First published in 1934. The film serials started in 1936. So, I mean, it wasn't a long time between the comic strips and the serials at all.
Oh, hold on a second. Oh, shit. What did that say? I was like, I'm seeing the first plane go by right now as you're saying this. Keep going. I will rewind and I'll see it again.
That's fine. So, I mean, it had been around for a long time. And it was probably one of those things that George Lucas did see as a kid growing up.
Mm-hmm.
It was probably definitely, and I think that's why he wanted the rights in the first place. And when he couldn't get that, he's like, fine, fuck you, I'm going to make my own thing.
I'm going to make a version that makes all this stuff a little bit more legitimate. But, like, when you think of the landscape of when a movie like this came out, I can understand it, like, turning a lot of heads. But it almost looks like an independent film, you know, watching it with the level of the way that the story is stitched together. You're just like, yeah, they shot, and whatever plot holes were there, they were like, fuck it, we'll fix that somehow. But for the most part, this is what it's going to look like. You know what I mean?
Now, here's a bit of a mind trick for you. Imagine if Sergio Leone had directed this.
Wow, holy shit. We would see all the holes that we see in, like, the walls and stuff would just be in, like, people. it would have been a little closer to, like, The Wild Bunch or something.
Because Sergio Leone was actually approach to do this.
And what was he doing at the time? Was he doing
He declined because the script was not faithful to the original Raymond comics. Now, this is, of course, according to Wikipedia, of course. So
The encyclopedia you can edit when you go visit it. But
exactly. I mean they also did a bit to update it, because it went from, you know, maybe instead of Flash Gordon being a polo player, we'll make him a football.
Oh my god, polo.
Well,
you know,
what, 1930s?
That's actually a sport, that's guys. That's actually a sport. It does exist. All right, fast forward. I want to see what this fucking plane said now that we've been talking about it. The one thing that's hard about fast forwarding on the iPad, I've noticed, is when you use when you try to use your finger to just drag it, scrubbing is super inaccurate.
Oh, yes.
Here we go. Here we go. Where the hell was the plane? Come on. All right. Well, is there anything that we missed before we get to this plane that we haven't talked about plot-wise or imagery-wise? I mean, I think this, from the way we've talked about it, this movie is literally the birthplace of several major monumental films in Hollywood, and are continuing to, you know, influences of it are, you know, continuing to be seen today.
Absolutely.
But at the same time, as we may have said, I hope at the beginning of the show, but possibly before we started recording, cringeworthy. Definitely, yes. Moments that were cringeworthy.
It shows its age.
Yes, does not hold up very well at all.
Although I did like going way back to the opening credits when you had, they're saying the like who played what character, but you had the comic book like character overlay behind it. So I mean, that reminded me very much of like how Marvel does it in the beginning of their movies now.
Yeah, yes. I was going to say it felt very like Marvel back then kind of thing.
So I thought that was pretty cool. Absolutely. And to show that it did come from like a comic book, even though, like I said, I wasn't sure which came first.
Yeah. Well, all right.
And apparently Kurt Russell was actually auditioned for the role of Flash.
No.
So now we have to know that in some alternate universe, there's a Kurt Russell as Flash Gordon directed by Sergio Leone.
And Arnold Schwarzenegger was turned down for the lead because of his accent.
Which eventually wound up not mattering anyway.
Exactly. So it would have been like Hercules in New York.
Exactly. Exactly. What would those be called? Air signs? Ugh. I'm trying to Google image Flash Gordon wedding scene. No, of course.
Oh. Yeah, good luck with that.
Yeah, I know. Google.
Oh, and then another fair
there you go.
Random piece of trivia that they have on here. Max von Sydow's costume weighed over 70 pounds. He's only able to stand wearing it for a few minutes at a time.
But he looked damn good doing it.
And Which is kind of funny, because going to, what is it, The Huntsman? Snow White and the Huntsman or whatever the hell it was with Blinky from what the hell is her name?
Blinky.
I can't remember her name. Twilight Girl.
Oh,
blinks a lot.
Kristen Stewart.
Yes, but in the movie, I think it was The Huntsman.
The new one that's coming out without her. The one that's just with Chris Hemsworth.
The one that had her in it.
That was Snow White and the
Queen.
Huntsman.
Okay, Snow White and the Huntsman. Thank you. The Evil Queen. Like Charlize, they were talking about how heavy her costume was, and she had to stay in it for extended periods of time.
Yeah, but she's also Furiosa. She's in much better shape than, well, though Sido back then, I don't know, he was younger.
Yeah, well, younger. Not like it's, you know, last week he's filming this thing and they asked him to wear a 70-pound costume. But
and at first when I heard the voiceover in the beginning, I was like, oh my god, is this something else that Christopher Lee did? But no, I was like, no, it sounds like Christopher Lee, but it's not Christopher Lee, it's Von Sydow. Yeah, he tried a lot. He was really trying hard. I think
I think Timothy Dalton was putting in legitimate effort in.
He just had too much of a Robin Hood vibe.
Yeah.
I think Brian Blessed was really trying to chew as much scenery as possible.
So it really was, yeah, Sam Jones, man. What the fuck? Well, whatever. It's not like Brian Bosworth did much worse in Stone Cold now, right? Only a few years later, or maybe that's when you should stay tuned to see if we cover Down the Road, which I don't know. I feel like every once in a while we mention a movie that I'm just like, yep, going on the list right now.
There you go. It is a long list at the moment, but yeah, it's have suggestions.
Yes, this would be the time to hit us up with them. We are hollow9podcast@gmail.com. That's the word hollow, the number 9, followed by an INE podcast. You'll get used to it. It's cool. It just looks and sounds cool. Once you know, you know. You know? Yeah, you know. Anyway, and on Twitter, we are at hollow9cast. Hollow9 is spelled the same way. The word hollow, the number 9, and then INE. Cast at Hollow9cast on Twitter. That's how that works. We do have a Facebook presence that is under construction but at the time of this recording, but maybe by the time it's out, we'll be up and running, so look for that too. Other than that, you know, we've got more movies on the way. We've got new episodes and new shows coming out on the same feed. We're treating the Hollow9 feed here like a network on your cable, where they just have a ton of shows that come out. You like the ones you like. You don't like the ones you don't like. Just download them all and delete the ones you don't like later. Help us help you help us grow so we can keep bringing more shows that you do like. We are going to be covering things like the new HBO series Westworld that will get its own show. Sean's going to be throwing us some content under the banner of the Fangirl Zone, so we'll be happy to host her here at Hollow9 Network, and a whole slew of other programs coming forward, so just keep your ears peeled and keep watch on things like iTunes and our website at Podomatic. Other than that, this has been our sort of somewhat in-depth at times and wacky and all over the place, just like the movie, discussion of Flash Gordon from 1980, directed by Mike Hodges, starring Sam Jones, from the What Am I Watching podcast. Broadcasting to you live but recorded from the Hollow9 headquarters, I am Dave the Clone.
I am Gomez.
I am Sean Fangirless.
And join us next time, will you? And bring some microwave popcorn. You've been listening to the Hollow9 Network, bringing you the very best in fan-made media. Follow us on Twitter at Hollow9cast. That's Hollow, the number 9, INE, cast. Email us at hollow9podcast@gmail.com. Or find us at our home site, hollow9.podomatic.com. Be sure to check out our affiliate, fangirlzone.com. Find us on Facebook. Rate and review us on iTunes. Join in the fun. Hollow9.
Oh, by the way, I haven't sent out the package that I was telling you I was going to send out to you. So
that's fine, as long as
it probably
goes
won't
to...
be until yeah, it probably won't end up being until
after Christmas.
Yeah, it's all good.
Sorry.
He directed Ozymandias 51 and Fly, which are awesome, awesome Breaking Bad episodes. Looper. He directed an episode of Terriers. Brick, the movie Brick.
That's a
fantastic movie.
Evil.
I'm sorry. Do you go by Matt or Matthew?
I go actually by either.
Okay.
I mean, if you want to go back far enough, I mean, there are people that think that Gomez is my first name.
I was going to say, I kind of like when I introduce you going with, and joining us is Gomez, not Adams. I think it's kind of like...
I'm fine with that.
All right, cool. I kind of like that as it's got a nice ring to it. All right, so I guess I'll count us in. I'm going to be watching it on my iPad mini here next to the screen.
What are you watching it on? Because I honestly couldn't find it, so it's all going
well,
by
I own it. Oh. So that's what I was going
that
on.
That helps.
Shit, I wish I had known that. We would have found a way. Like, is it on Hulu or something? It's not on Netflix?
No, because I was going to actually play it, like, as we were watching, or as we were talking too, but...
So,
I was hoping to watch this past week, but didn't get you. But I'll be fine. I'm good.
Are you guys serious? You're going to be doing this? I'm the resident expert now?
I wasn't the expert.
You're keeping us on track. I wouldn't go so far as to say you're the expert.
All right, good, because I would say, like, I watched it, and a lot of shit was coming back to me, but this is like, you know, when you cram for a test in high school.
Time trip.
It's, you're like, oh, fuck, I knew it all 5 minutes before I walked in this fucking room, and now, fuck, now that I need it, I'm, like, losing it. So it's going to be...
You want to know how I did all my college work? It's like, the night before.
There are things that I'm going to suddenly remember, like, fuck, this is why I should take notes, but don't take notes. But hopefully some of the crazy things I wanted to talk about, like Amish Mafia of the future.
This is also why I review TV tropes before we do these.